would like the master. This is done with. I already took one can't understand Pesach Sheni other than not saying Tachanun without Torah Hasod. So over here there's a Zohar in the way it's usually defined is in Zohar Chelak Gimel the Kufnun Beis Amud Beis. It's in the Raya Mehemna on Parashas Bahalospa. So it points out Bakuda Lemevad Pesach Sheni Al Inun Delo Yachilo Od Istaivu Bimasavu Achra. For those who are Bederach Rachoka or Tamei Lenefesh, they have this mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. Then he points out Ela Kevan the Knesset Yisrael mitatra b'itraha b'nisan lo itadit kisraha v'itra'usa minei tlasin yomen, that once Knesset Yisrael received their crowns in Nisan, those crowns remain on their heads for 30 days. Kolin and tlasin yomen min yoma denafku m'Yisrael mi'pesach yasva matrenusa b'ataraha, and not only do Klal Yisrael have these crowns, but the matronisa, the Shechina, also is sitting with the crown. V'kol cheiloha v'chedva, all of the malachim are ecstatic with joy. Man deboi lemechme lematronisa yochi lemechmed. And any individual who wants to see the Shechina has the opportunity to see the Shechina for these 30 days. I should have read this to you yesterday. You could have gotten it in. Okay. And then, Kruz Akaris. When the 30 days are over, then there is an announcement. Kol man delo yochil lemechme matrinusa, anyone who was not able to see the matrinisa during the time that she was on display for these 30 days, yaisi viyachme adlo yinalun tare, can still, has a second chance, can still see the matrinisa until the gates are locked, until the gates are closed. Ema sai kruza karis, when is this announcement made? That's on Pesach Sheni. The ha mitamon v'ad shiva yomin, that for the 7 days after Pesach Sheni, we have this moed bet, the tarim psichin, that the gates are open. Mikan ulahala, after these 7 days, yin alun tare, then the gates are locked, v'aldo Pesach Sheni. Namely, that in the world of the Zohar, today begins the sphira of Hod, and the sphere of Hod goes for 7 days. Today is Chesed Shebahod, and then we have Gvura Shebahod, etc. So for these 7 days, the gate is open, and we have the second opportunity of seeing the Matronisa for those who missed it the first time around. So the question is, of course, what is going on over here? So I have really no idea what's going on over here, but on a very, very basic level, a level that I can understand, what's going on over here, and the Nesiva Shalom has a maimar on this in Chelek Beis in the Nesiva Shalom. What's going on over here is that Pesach is not just a yantav. Pesach is an opening. It's a gilui shechina, just like we speak about the fact that Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu opened the Shiva Rekiyim, and Pesach also, there was a gilui shechina of ani Hashem ani velo acher, that there was a gilui shechina, and that gilui shechina was vigaretz lebincha bayom ahu. That gilui shechina had a concept of bayom ahu yeh Hashem echad ushmo echad, had the concept of yemot hamashiach, namely when people will come to a yediya that all that exists is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that perspective can last for what are called the nitzotzos, the oros of that perspective, can last for 30 days. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his Rachmanus, ki yimin chavshuta lekabel shavim, realizes that there are individuals who are tamei lenefesh, realizes there are individuals who are b'derech rechoka, and those individuals were not shayach to be linked in with this hisgalus that lasted for the 30 days, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a second opportunity of individuals to link in to this sod of the matronisa, to link into the sod of the shechina, to be able to be misyached with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to feel that unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the 7 days beginning with Pesach Sheni. The sphera of Hod represents the sphera of the greatest degree of Ahavas Hashem to his Brios. The sphere of Hod is the lowest of the spheros. The next two spheros of Yesod and Malchus are, rather than serving as the tale of Pesach, are the introduction to Shavuos. That Shavuos, every Chag has a minimum time of preparation. So for Pesach, we have a concept of Shloshim Yom. For Shavuos, it's a Machlokes in the Gemara. The minimum time preparing for Shavuos is 2 weeks. These are the 2 weeks of Yesod and Malchus. What happens over here is that we had the Shloshim Yom before Pesach as preparation. Pesach itself and the period of Shloshim Yom, one can bask in the vision of the Matronisa. Then we have the cruise, which is Yotzei, that we have another 7 days that are open and that are the Tarim Sichin, that the gates are open. That begins today, and within the world of Kabbalah, this then is the 7 days of the sphere of Hod. Of course, Lag BaOmer is smack in the center of those 7 days, Hod Shebahod. And as such, Lag BaOmer certainly serves as a means for those who wish to be spiritually sensitive to Torah Hasod of being able to envelop oneself in the Ahava of Klal Yisrael and the Ahava of the Matronisa of the Shechina. Okay, that's Zema Shekan. So. In the radio, when they want to move from a Levaya to a Simcha, say, in other words, to change moods. Okay. Change moods, let's move over to the Pesachim, the Daflam and Amid Beis, the mission towards the end of the Amid. Here, this is, we've been very, very spoiled for the last 8 months or 9 months, learning Moed and being involved in very, very beautiful sugyos of Ba'ira, Ba'yimatze, Dinim of Yisurei Hanoa, Yisurei Achila, v'chulei. Now we have this sharp turn to the world of Choshen Mishpat. Even though the Mishnah still deals with the issue of Ba'ira Ba'yimatze, but the Cholzo, the context of the sugi over here, or I should say, even the context of the sugi over here is still Ba'ira Ba'yimatze, the content of the sugi is Choshen Mishpat. So let's look at the Mishnah. Nachri Shehilvas Yisrael Al Chemtzo. Then, Achar HaPesach Muter Bahano. However, Yisrael Shehilvas HaNachri Al Chemtzo. Achar HaPesach Aser Bahano. Namely, we have, even though we pointed out earlier that the Chametz that belonged to a goy, that was under the bailus of a goy during Pesach, there's no din of Chametz Shalva Pesach. Mashen came on the Chametz that belonged to a Jew over Pesach, and there was an Aveira Ba'ira Ba'imotze, that there is a Knas, according to Rabbi Shimon, of Chametz Shalva Pesach. Here we have paradoxically Ukimtot, where we have the opposite that appears to be, that we have Chametz belonging to a goy, which is going to be Aser Bahana'a, and we have Chametz that belong to a Jew, which is going to be Mutar Bahana'a. Why? Because of the circumstances of what this Chametz was involved in, that Rashi points out over here, Ulekami Begemara Mukila Keshehirhinu Etzlo Beiso, that we're dealing with Chametz as a mashkon for alone, and this mashkon, even though, if we'll ask who it belongs to, in Bedine Mamonos, L'cha'ora, a mashkon belongs to the Lova. The Malva is holding it as a blackmail, ransom, whatever phrase you want to use, a payment in advance. But the bottom line is, it still belongs to the Lova. And yet, because of certain circumstances, the Malva, who is holding on to this mashkon, he's the one who's going to be over by Yirah or by Yimatze. How does that work? What are the mechanics? That we'll have to get to. That's the sugya on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, two-thirds of the way down the Amud, through Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis. That's the sugya of Mashko and how to understand the Mishnah. But the Gemara doesn't begin with the world of Mashko. The Gemara begins on a different plane, Itmar. Ba'alchov, Abai Omer L'mafreya Hugove, V'rava Amar Mikanu L'haba Hugove. I was choking with Rav Bednar, and asked him, does this have anything to do with the machlokas, whether Eid Zomim l'mafreya hu nifsa l'mikano l'haba hu nifsa, which is also machlokas v'nabayi v'rava. So we both decided that Kanareh, there is on some plane, some conceptual concept of Mikan Olahaba Namafreya, and we'll leave it for other people to deal with. But over here, we have a local machlokas in terms of what we're going to call shibudim, in terms of the world of shibudim, the world of, in English called liens, the world of liens on the property of the love. And the question is, as to what point these liens become effective. Background that I think that we should have to understand our Gemara is that we have a machlokas in the Gemara. We have machlokas in the Gemara in Baba Basra and of Kuf Ayin Hey Amud Beis machlokas Amaroim between Ula and Rava as to whether Shibuda Doraisa or Shibuda Lav Doraisa. If we say Shibuda Doraisa, what that means practically, again, according to the Gemara over there on Daf Kufay and Hayim Adbeis in Baba Basra, is that every milveh, every loan, be it a milveh bishtar or be it a milveh ba'alpeh, the malveh has the zchut, he has the right, to be goveh from the chasim mishubadim. He has a lien on all of the property that belonged to the loveh at the time of the loan, even if that property is later transferred to another party. The malva has first grabs at that property. The later, according to the Man Damar Shibuda Daraisa, a takana was made that we're going to distinguish between a milva bishtar, where we're going to maintain the status of the Daraisa, that there's going to be a shibud nechasim in a milva bishtar. However, a milva ba'alpeh, there Chazal abrogated the Shibud Doraisa and said only the Nechasim B'nei Chorin, only that property which is still currently in the hands of the Lova when the Malva comes to collect, only those Nechasim can be collected. Anything that was transferred to another party, the Chazal were Mafkia, the Shibud. And Chazal did that, the Gemara says in Daf Kufayin Hamid Beis, because of Seder de Lukuchos, that people, in terms of loans that are bishtar, have a way of checking out. They can go to City Hall and see copies of all of the shtaros. Masha'en ken a milva balpeh. How is someone supposed to know that there was a milva balpeh and that the land that he is currently buying has a shibud on it? There was no way of knowing. People would lose money left and right. And so Chazal made a takana that to protect the lekuchos in areas that can't protect themselves, namely in a halva that has no kol, there is no way of it becoming public knowledge, there they were mafkia the shibud, but it remained on the milva bishtar. Masha enken, just give the other side of the coin, Masha enken, according to mandam or shibud alav daraisa, there's never a shibud on a daraisa plane of the malva on the property of the lova. He can only be gove that which the Lova gives him. Priyas Balchov Mitzvah. The Lova has a moral and a halachic mitzvah to pay his loan, and if it doesn't, the Malva can go to court, and the court will decide whatever it will decide. But there are no shibudim on a Doraisa plane. However, people stop lending money. If there's not going to be any guarantee, if I'm not going to have that which I can rely upon to collect my loan, I'm not going to lend money. So Chazal were metakein that in a milva bishtar, where the lokeach should be able to watch out for himself, there Chazal were metakein in the world of shibudim. That's the machlokas. Everyone agrees. Bottom line is that milva bishtar, there is a concept of shibud, and milva ba'al peh nowadays is no concept of shibud. The question is this a watered down shibuda doraisa, or is this a souped up shibuda derabanan? What exactly is our situation nowadays? That's point A. Yes, Mendel.
Was there some circumstance that changed, according to the opinion, that they perceived the need, or
these takanos came about because of human nature. It's similar to the Prusbol, namely that the Torah assumed a certain achva between Jews that would bring about loaning without ribis, that would bring about selling even though lands would go back at a certain point, that would bring about halvaos that would be abrogated, you know, in Shemitah, etc. And in an ideal society, or when you lend money to your own children, what you'll do is after they turn around, you'll tear up their checks that they gave you, and you know, and they'll feel good and you'll feel good. They pay you back, but the bottom line is, you know, is you never you realize that they don't have the money to pay you back. So that's the ideal world that everyone would view, a person who borrows money from him as a child. But you know, we live in a world where not everything is as it appears, and people sometimes get gypped and robbed, and then they get suspicious and v'chulei v'chulei. And so people want things to be to have guarantees that if I'm going to do, I don't mind doing a favor, but I want to get paid back. And so Chazal, you know, the same way they were metakin the prusbol, they were metakin over here. The same, you know, shalotin ol devas bifnei lovin. They were also metakin, if you were in the first sukkah in Sanhedrin, the whole concept of not requiring a bezdin smuchin in order to be able to collect the loans was also shalotin ol devas bifnei lovin. That people had to feel they had. They didn't have to necessarily go. They're living in Florida. They didn't have to go to Yerushalayim in order to be able to collect their loans. That a local bezin could also deal with these matters. Anyway, so there was a whole slew of takanos of shalotin ol delas bifnei lavim, and also mishum seder delekuchos that people were taking advantage of. I mean, it's a shame. I mean, because whether Moshe Mashiach there'll still be a prusbol and whether we'll go back. We'll have a different leif, right? Hasirosi leif evet mikir b'chem. We'll get back our leif basar. Maybe we'll come back to being able to live according to a certain ideal. Okay. Now let's take it one step further. Let's assume shibudo d'oraisa. Most poskim assume shibudo d'oraisa. What's the makar? Where do you see in the Torah the concept of shibud? Shibudo d'oraisa means it's a pasuk. Where do we have a pasuk in the Torah that deals with the world of shibud? So here we find a machlokes rishonim between Rashi and the Rashbam. It's what appears to be a machlokes rishonim. Rashi, and you know, it's the sugya of shibuda is brought in a number of places in Shas. One of them is in Gitan and Daf Nun. The other is, as I pointed out to you, in Bava Basra and Daf Kufayin Hamad Beis. So, in Gitan and Daf Nun, Amad Aleph, Rashi over there says, Kevan de dine midoraisa beidis. In other words, we're talking over here about a certain shibud that midoraisa happens to be from the best of lands. Sherei shibdalo, v'naase karkazo orev lamalve, v'orev mishtabed min ha-Torah. Dichsiv anochi e'ervenu. That since we have a concept of arevus midoraisa, of having a guarantor, anochi e'ervenu miadita vakshenu, that Yehuda served as a guarantor for Binyamin, and that had a, you know, which is considered to be a halachic concept of having a guarantor, and were there to be a guarantor on a loan, if someone were to say, you know, to Reuven, lend Shimon money, and I guarantee the payment, then we don't say that statement of Shimon is asmachta ba'alma. I mean, that statement of Levi, the guarantor, is asmachta ba'alma. He never meant to really pay back the loan. We say that he meant it, and that Reuven can now, you know, has access to Shimon, and if Shimon doesn't pay the loan, he can go to the Arev and be gove midoraisa. So if the Arev is mishtabing midoraisa, Shibuda Midaraisa tells us that the fields of the Love are the Arev of the Love. We'll come in a minute to what does this mean, but that's what Rashi says over here in Gitan on Daf Nun Amud Aleph. However, in Bava Basra, we don't have Rashi over there on that sugya at Daf Kufayin Hei Amud Beis, but we have the Rashbam, and he brings a different source text for Shibuda Daraisa. Amar Ula Dvar Torah, Echad Milva Bishtar, Echad Milva Alpeh, Govu Nechasem Mishubadim, Mai Taima Shibuda Doraisa, Rashbam says, Shibuda Doraisa, Yotzi Elecha Ha'avot. We have a parasha in the Torah of Mashkon, in Dvarim, Perek Kaf Dalet, Parashas Ki Tetzei, mm-hmm. כי תשה וריחה משעת מאומה לא תבוא אל ביתו לאבות אבותו בחוץ תעמוד ואיש אשר אתה נושה בו יוציא אליך את האבות החוץ. So the Desdin forces the Lova to provide a mashkon to the Malva. And so over here the source of Shibura Doraisa is an extension of the concept of mashkon. Those are the two deos that I'm aware of in the Rishonim for Shibuda d'Oraisa. What does it mean to say that we're basing it on the world of Orev? What obligates the Orev? What? An Arev, classically a guarantor. Why, you know, as Rashi assumes that the concept of a guarantor certainly is midoraiso. What happens when the guarantor says, Anochi Ervenu, give him the money because I'll be the guarantor? What goes on at that time that has halachic significance?
Makes a kinyan. It becomes a little
bit. One radical way of viewing Arev. Classically, we view it that the Malva can't go to the Arev first. Only if he's an Arev Kadlan. The Malva first has to go to the Lova, and only afterwards goes to the Arev. Yes.
It's not a form of Shua.
No.
Smichus Das.
Right. We have a double Smichus Das. A. We assume that the Arev really means it. You say, we assume the Arev really means it, because no one would say it if he didn't mean it, or maybe to put it a little differently, what the Gemara speaks about, that Bahu Hanoah, with the fact that this person, this Arev, is now viewed as the white knight who saves individuals who need loans, for that to be known in society as a white knight, for that Hanoah, he's Gomer Umashabed Nafshe. But more than that, what's important to us is that Smichus Das of the Malva. Then the Malva is giving the loan on this condition, that the Malva takes the Arev seriously, and therefore the Malva has the right, in other words, via his Smichus Das, to be able to take the money from the Arev. Now we have over here a Smichus Das on the part of the Arev and a Smichus Das on the part of the Malva that create a Shibud. What exactly the Shibud is, we'll have to say. But the Shibud is basically built on the world of Smichus Das. It's built over here that we have a voluntary act on the part of the Arev that brings about a certain Smichus Das on the part of the Malva. That is then transferred to the world of Shibud Doraisa, of loans, that when I look at a Lova, I'm looking not at the Lova's guf, I'm looking at the Lova's nechasim. I'm lending him money because I see he has fields, because I see he has with what to pay me back. I see that I have a concrete way of getting my loan back. So the fields that he has, that gives me the Smichus Das to lend him the money. Had he had no fields, who says I would have lent him the money? So that's what's behind Shibud Doraisa, and it's built on the world of Arev. That we have over here a Smichus Das on the part of the Malva. If, however, we're learning out from the world of Mashkon, Mashkon has something to do with Smichus Das. Mashkon is that which is created by Bezdin in order to be able to placate a Malva who feels that he's been taken for a ride. So don't worry. Here we're giving you this Mashkon. What is involved in the Mashkon? How exactly does the Mashkon work? We'll have to see, you know, how the Rishonim define it. But it's certainly a very, very different direction than the direction of the Arev. The Chora, yes?
Could you clarify, and you just said we'll see later.
In a minute, just 1 minute. You're coming.
Clarify the role of the Mashkon.
In other words, the Mashkon that's spoken about in the Torah is a Mashkon Shelo B'Shas Halva. There was a Halva, and then the Lova defaulted. And so the Malva took the Lova to Beis Din, and the Lova says, I need more time. So what Bezdin did was say, okay, fine, you need more time, you know, we'll give you more time, but in the meantime, we have to give the Malva a mashkon so that he will be able to sleep at night. And so you have the right, you, Mr. Lova, have the right of choosing the mashkon. He's not going to go into your house, You have the right of, you'll go into your house, you'll take out of your house an object which whose value would placate the malva, and this will then, you know, serve, then will give you more time based on this mashkon. That's the concept of Yerech Mashkon. So we see that from the world of mashkon, that there is some underlying shibud. It means that that eventually, if the lova is not going to pay the loan, then the mashkon is going to serve as the payment of the loan. That was just said a minute ago, that the ori becomes the lova, that's already pushing the envelope. But say the mashkon becomes the payment, that's not going so far. Where, you know, where it's that the lova knows that he has time to pay back the loan and to redeem the mashkon, or that mashkon is going to remain. We'll get to sugya of mashkon later on. But what underlies the sugya of mashkon is that there is a concept of a lien, that we can have property that doesn't belong to you, but it's under lien to you. And so that's the concept. In other words, so from the fact that we have a parsha of mashkon, we see that there is a concept of shibud. That's the way that the Rashbam understands. Okay, so if these are the two source texts, then l'chora, the obvious nafkamina between these two texts, whether we're dealing with the mashkon as being the source of shibud, or we're dealing with the concept of arvus as being the source of shibud, would be what issue? In terms of, you know, very, very volatile issue in the world of shibudim, in terms of what objects the shibud applies to, what sort of property of the lova, when we speak about a shibud d'oraisa, what level of property are we speaking about which is mishubad? Only karka, or also metalkalim. If we're learning out from orev, we have no idea. It could be limited to karka. If we're learning out from mashkon, the whole mashkon is metalkalim. In other words, if mashkon is the source of the din of shibudim, so we see that there is a concept of shibud on metalkalim. Within our sugya, in other words, that a mashkon is metalkalim, that's no question. I mean, that's the Torah tells us that the lova comes out of his house with his ming vaz or with his baseball autograph by Joe DiMaggio or whatever it is, you know, that he has, which is going to serve as the metalkalim, which will serve as the mashkon, and therefore our Mishnah deals with chametz. It's a no-brainer to say that chametz can be a mashkon as well. Chametz is no less than a baseball or a vaz. However, our sugya is talking about shibudim. What we're going to see later on in our sugya is that the Gemara is going to bring in the Mishnah and our sugya of Abaye and Rava sort of meshing together. And that would imply that the concept of shibudim would apply even to chametz, namely even to metalkalim. So again, if we're using mashkon as our source, shibud d'oraisa, then everything is fine and good. If we're using arev, then this is a very open question as to what gives a malva smichus das. L'chora, smichus das is not from something which is here today, gone tomorrow. Smichus das is karka lo'olam omedet. The whole beauty of karka, of using karka as a shibud, is that the karka is not going to disappear. Even if the lova disappears, the lova jumps boat, he goes off to wherever people run away to nowadays, he goes off to some country where he can't be extradited, but the karka is there. That there was the smichus das, that approach of the Anochi Erevenu, that's pushing certainly towards karka as being the object of shibudim. Using mashkon as our source, that would bring metalkalim into the picture. But echshelo yeyeh, we've discussed up to now, is questions of shibud d'oraisa, drabanan, and sources. But what is a shibud? How does a shibud work? What are the halach mechanics of how a shibud works? Here we have another machlokas we've shown in L'cha'ora, another option, in other words, within the Rishonim, namely that. Let's go back again to our Machlokes Rishonim as to what is the source text. If the source text is Mashkon, then L'chora, we have no idea at this point what exactly is the mechanics of Shibud. If the source text is Arvus, then what could very well be the mechanics of Shibud? How does it work? What is the, you know, what would be the halachic glue that holds it together? The smichus das, namely that smichus das in halacha plays a very, very powerful role. Smichus Das does not even require Maisa Kinyonim if the Smichus Das is very, very obvious. We have cases in the Gemara where the Gemara speaks about an umdana, where it's so obvious we don't need a tnai, we don't need a kinyan. It's obvious this is the person's das. I mean, that if a person, let's say, were to give all of his nechasim away to YU because his only son is lost in the jungles of in the Amazon and hasn't been heard from for 40 years, and then his son comes back, clearly his gift to YU is assuming his son was dead. Now that his son is alive, there's an umdana that he never meant to give the money to YU in the first place. It was only given on a certain assumption. That's what the world of smichus das. We don't say, well, where's the kinyan? Where's this? Where's that? The smichus das itself is the kinyan. We have a concept hein dvarim haniknim ba'amira, that sometimes things are so obvious. We speak about the dowry of a kala that the parents of the bride and the parents of the groom decide upon under the chuppah, even without a handshake, even without a sudar. Simply the fact that under the chuppah, under these circumstances, which is the most hopefully happy day of their lives, that they agreed to a certain monetary arrangement, that itself is considered to be a meaningful smichus das. So if we're working with the word of arev, then lechora is called the smichus das, and there is such a rashi not only in Gitan and Daf Nun, there's also such a rashi in Bava Metzia and Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Over there, the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Rashi over there. Speaks about v'i yartei karkos. If we have an individual with yorish karka, mishtabde nichsei mechayim, umechayev midin arev, the nichsayu debar inish inun arvin vei, the chi osvei alayu samach. Namely, that the nechasim of an individual are his arevim. That whenever he borrows money, alayu samach, the malve is has smichus das on these nesach on these nechasim. Aval metaltele. Namely that, so over here it appears in Rashi that the whole mechanism of Shibud is one of Smichus Das. Namely that the Makar and the mechanism are one and the same. If we view the Makar as Mashkon, not as Arev, we view the Makar as Mashkon, what then over here is the mechanism? You could say it's Smichus Das. Not saying it's not Smichus Das, but the problem is that the Mashkon that we're speaking about as being the source text is a Mashkon Shelo B'Shas Halva. It's something which is a Johnny Come Lately. Namely, it doesn't that the loan was given without that Smichus Das. So what Shibud does the Malva have in the Mashkon? What degree of Shibud? Or how do we define the Shibud in halachic terminology? There's a Ritva in Kedushin and Daf Yud Gimel who has a long arichus on this, and the Ritva over there, and Daf and both Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Yirmaskel Rav Yehuda, and Yirmaskel Rav Yochanan, speaks about the concept of Shibuda de Oraisa, va'af al gav the Ein Hakno'a lechatzain, ve'ein Hakno'a bedavar she'eno birshuso. Hainu haknoa gemura, avol shibuda the mitzvah tali v'koy chayel anichsei the hashtav anichsei the ekne kol hecha the isnu birishusa mihas. Namely, that we have a form of kinyan, we have a partial kinyan, that there is a bailus. It's not just over here a zechut that because I had smichus das that gives me certain zechuyot. It's more than a zchut. That we're dealing over here that the malva has a partial kinyan in the nechasim of the lov. He's a shutaf. He has a partial kinyan. Even though classically, one doesn't find this world of partial kinyanim, but the world of shibudim is a world of partial kinyanim. So those are really within the acronym. Though that's basically the chakira, whether a shibud is a kinyan or a shibud is a schut, which stems from smichus das. This is all the background. Now let's move over to Abaye and Rava. Okay, now that we know that we have a machlokes as whether shibud d'oraisa is rabbanan, we have a machlokes what's the source of shibud, we have a machlokes as to whether shibudim apply to metaltalim or not, and we have a machlokes how shibud works. Is shibud a kinyan or is shibud a world of smichus das? Now let's move over to the world of Abaye and Rava and see what each of them is saying. Itmar ba'al chov, Abaye Omar l'mafreya hu gove, v'Rava Omar mikan ulahaba hu gove. At this point in the Gemara, what does it appear? In other words, what would be the easiest way before we go into the details of learning the machlokes? Which theory of mashkon would give us a l'mafreya hu gove, and which would give us a mikan olahaba hu gove? Or do you want to still leave it as being open? Okay, let's leave it as being open. Let's learn a little more. Let's learn a little more. Kol hecha de ikdish love v'zavin love kulei alma lo plige de osi malve v'tarif osi malve u parik. Namely, that the shibudim, according to everyone, are enough to undermine any transaction, any transference that the love would want to make. The shibudim of the malve are enough to block that transference. Why? Let's look in Rashi. Kulei alma lo plige, afilu Rava, damar ad achshav hayu berishus love, that until the time of payment comes, there berishus love, modehu, de'ein mechiraso la'acherim mechira, ve'ein hekdesho hekdesh, sheharei mamushkanin hein la'malve, mamushkanin l'chore is a Hebrew way of saying the word mishubadim, hein Lamalve. Rashi isn't translating the Gemara into Hebrew. That's what he did. Harimumushkanin hein lamalve. Va'af al pi shehein shelo einon birshuso. V'rachmana amar v'ish ki yakdish es beso kodesh ma beso birshuso af kol birshuso. What over here? How over here is Rashi explaining Rava's shita? That even though, according to Rava, the Malve's shibud on his side only hits in at the time of the Piraon, however, before that, what do we have? Before that, what do we have? We have over here are limitations on the lova. The question is, where do these limitations on the lova stem from? Where do these limitations on the lova stem from? And according to where do these limitations on the lova stem from? So if the malva has a partial kinyan, certainly we would understand why we have these limitations. If the malva has zechuyot, he has rights, he has smichus da'as, would that also bring about these limitations?
No.
If a lova can go ahead and just get rid of whatever he has without any consequences, what kind of smichus da'as is that? And the Chorah, the Smichus Das.
Isn't Rashi going further? theoretically, you have other chat. He's able to sell, he's able to give it to Hekdesh, but then the Loba has the Malba has the ability to be pulled there.
Is that what you see over here in Rashi?
No,
we don't see that in Rashi.
No, I'm saying, but someone who would say a schos pshat, I could see them say, you know.
In other words, we could have an alternate pshat. In other words, okay, we're doing that. I'm sorry, I should just. The way Rashi understands Rava, and then we'll come to see is there an alternate shot in Rava. The way Rashi understands Rava, l'chora, it would fit in with either of the mechanisms of that we're dealing with. Either that we're dealing over here on the level of a partial kinyan, or we're dealing on the level of smichus das. Either of those would be enough to limit the lova that he would not be allowed to transfer this, because that would go against the kinyan of the malva, that would go against the smichus das of the malva. What then would be the machlokes between Abaye and Rava? Well, let's just continue a little bit, or maybe let's just hone this in a little bit. Let's just, in other words, Rashi then continues on Daf Lamed Aleph Amad Aleph and points out that this is not as pashut as it appears in our Gemara. What appears in our Gemara is that the Lova's hands are tied totally behind his back. He can't do anything with his property once he borrowed money. Because, again, either because he has an issue that to transfer one needs total bailus, and over here his bailus is being bitten into either by a kinyan of the malva or by a schut of the malva. Yes?
So in Rashi, in the previous staff, is the phrase, hand your shoes up.
Yeah.
That would mean two very different things according to the two. In other words, if it's based on smichus das, it doesn't really mean it's been removed from his rishus per se, it just means we're limiting his control. So
100%, which also fits into the words, veino birshusa.
Okay.
Right. However, Rashi on Daf Amad Aleph points out we have a Gemara in Ksuvas Naf Nun Testament days, another statement of Rava. A statement of, now we're dealing over here with Rava. And Rava himself says, Afal Gav Dama Rava, Hekdesh Chametz Veshichur, Mafkiin midei shibud, namely that if you have a lova, and he borrowed money, and on his nechasim we have a shibud, and one of those nechasim is an eved kanani, the owner of this eved kanani can be meshachar him, and that will override the shibud. If we're dealing with chametz, the chametz can be burnt by the bailim. In other words, and that's makia the shibud. If we're dealing with an object that he has, he can be makdish the object, and that's the makia the shibud. Now this object is going to become hektish. In other words, so how do we understand that if, according to Rava, we have limited the lova, that kol hecha da akdish ozavin kulei amal oflige osi malve v'tarif osi malve v'parif, namely that meikar hadin, we don't really have over here a sale. We don't really have over here a hekdesh. Why then are hekdesh chametz shechem afkimidei shibud? So Rashi distinguishes dafka kedushas haguf ka'amar Rava konamos o behema lekorban o beged shapir so al hameis kehidiyavamos. Only in those situations would we have a hafka amidei shibud. Ava kedushas damim lo amrina. So let's again fine tune. What exactly would be the distinction between kedushas damim, which the lova is not able to impose on an object that has a shibud, and kedushas taguf in any of these three manifestations of hekdesh, chametz, and shichur, that the lova is able to establish even on an object that has a shibud? What over here, how would you, it's simply to, not question changing, just to fine tune what we're saying over here. That because of the kinyanim of the malva, or because of the zchut, due to the smichus das of the malva, in what area of halacha is this lova limited? What can he not do? What can he not do? What's the common denominator between selling an object and being makdish et kedushas damim? They both don't work, but why don't they work? We work. The lova can't transfer ownership. In order to transfer ownership, you have to have total bailus. And over here, the Malvin may have a king. In order to transfer ownership, there can't be someone else who has a schut in this object. That's already Eino Birshus, so you can't transfer ownership. So when we're dealing with Tuchas Damim, we're dealing with a transfer of ownership. That's the area in which the Lova is limited. How would you define instilling Kedushas Haguf in an object?
Transfer of status.
Right. That's giving a status to the object. It's not transferred all. We are giving the object a yi'ud. We're giving it a chaloshem. We're giving it a status. There, Estam, I can't walk over to your animal and say that animal is hektish. I can't walk over to your car and say that your car is avodah zarah. I can't give a chaloshem, you know, Estam, to something which is not mine. But once I have basic ba'alut, I can already give a chaloshem. Namely, the total ba'alut is required in order to transfer ownership. But if I'm not transferring ownership, all I'm doing is giving a halachic status, then it's enough as long as I have bailus. I don't need reshuso in order to be able to give a status, in order to be able to give a chaloshem. So what we have over here is that the lova, klape, giving a chaloshem, klape hekdesh, chametz, and shichur, he can do that even with his migvalot. He has enough bailus to do that. Where he's limited is in terms of transferring ba'alut. And that limitation can come about either because of the partial kinyan of the malveh or because of the sminchus das of the malveh. That's within Rava. What Rafi pointed out is that there is another way of understanding Rava. And this is what's brought in the name of the Rav in the Hare Kedem. I didn't see it black and white in the Rishonim. Did you see it in the Rishonim? Or... to distinguish on a different plane between Kedushas Haguf and Kedushas Damim. That, okay, Raf, you want to say it again? You said it very nicely.
So what you could say is that it is Chal, it goes to Hekdesh, the sale is Chal, but you have the body you told it, the body to the Baal to get the lighter back.
So what does it mean to say, What's the status of the lova? Is he a partial owner, a total owner?
I think he'd be a total owner.
According to Rava, the lova is still a total owner. That's the mikano lahaba. The shibudim don't kick in until the zman of the gviya. At this point, the lova is a total owner. That's what it appears, you know, that Rava Amar mikano lahaba hu gova, that there are no shibudim. What we're saying now is that even Rava agrees that there are shibudim from the very beginning. But the shibudim only take it to a certain point. What Rafi is suggesting is that maybe we should read Rava literally. That's not just a question over here of mikano lahaba hu gove, but rather that there are no shibudim until the point of pira'am, and that's why the lova has is total bailus. It's in his bailus. It's in his reshus. Hekimi makdish, etc. But that's why hekdesh shichrur. Because, you know, it's really, really, according to Rava, there really are no shibudim until the time of the Piraon. In other words, that machkim de shibud means that they preempt the shibudim. The shibudim are only going to come about mikano lahaba, and they preempt the shibudim from coming in mikano lahaba. However, when we're dealing on the level of Rava says that iakdish lavin, etc., koyam ala plige, daasi malve v'tarif, asi malve. Uparik, why asi lova malve uparik? With what? With pidya. That we're dealing over here with the world of pidya, and pidya is only going to undermine or unravel kedushas damim. Kedushas damim, there you can be podek. You can't be podek kedushas haguf on an animal which is still a tamim. You can't reverse it. You can't reverse the hekdesh. You can't certainly reverse the status of chametz. You can't reverse the shikur. These are already irreversible. But in the world of hekdesh, in kedushas damim, the malveh has an eitzah. He has an eitzah of pidyon. Okay, so that's a second approach. Okay, so we have then over here within Rava that we could say. Either that Rava agrees, as Rashi says, that there are shibudim, harima mushkan hein lamalveh, and these shibudim bite into his ownership to a certain degree. They limit him, even according to Rava, and we try to define the degree of limitation. Or you could learn, no, that Rava says there are no shibudim altogether until the time of the Pirah. Yes? Asi Malvav, when the time of the Pirah comes, then Mikano Lahaba, in other words, the shibudim, in other words, the shibudim are there in potential. Right, Mikano Lahaba, it can be good. The shibudim are there in potential, but they can't be actualized currently. Okay. On the other hand, we have Abaye, Ki Plige, on the second line of Daf Amad Aleph, Ki Plige, the Zavin Malve, the Kaddish Malve. Abaye, Amar Mafreya, who gove, cave on the Mata Zimne, Velo Pare, Igloi Milsa, Mafreya, the Mikar of your Shusei, of the Malve, Have Koi, Vishapir Akdish, Vishapir Zavin. Rava Amar, Mikano Lahaba, who gove, cave on the Ilu, Have Le Zuze, Have Mesalik Luhu, Having been like Zuze, Eshkach the Hashta Kakani. Okay, what over here is clearly the Shita of Abaye, I think clearly Shita of Abaye, and what over here are the options still within Rava. What is the Igloi Milsa Lemafreya? Yes?
If you say it's about Shibudin, then
Abaye
works a lot more.
If you say it's about... We're also talking about
Shibudin.
Saying
it's about Shibudin being
Chal
as a Kenyan.
Ah. If we understand Abaye as a Kenyan, then this is very, very clear. Namely that the Kenyan gives an individual bailus. That the Malva is an owner. Just that the Malva we're only going to know that he has his ownership when the Lova defaults. Until the Lova defaults, we're not aware that the Malva has ownership. Moment that the Lova defaults, then Igloi Milsa Mafreya that the Malva had ownership all along. We have over here a world of Kinyan. And as such, in other words, it turned out that Shalohu Machar, Shalohu Hikdish. When it's on the level of Kinyanim, this makes very, very good sense. Could we learn Abaye also on the level of Smichus Das? That he wouldn't have lent the money unless he would know that he would be Gover. That wouldn't bring about any lamafreya. Smichus Das would not bring about a lamafreya. Within Rava, we have the two options. And if we had to summarize it at this point, Abaye certainly understands the world of Shibudim as Kinyanim. And those Kinyanim can go lamafreya. Rava, we have two options. Either he can view it as a din of Kinyanim, but simply disagree with the lamafreya aspect and say, in other words, that it doesn't go lamafreya, it's only Mikano Lahaba. If you want to, this is like a kinyan lachar shloshim, namely that the kinyan takes place at the time of the loan, but it's only going to go into effect, in other words, at the time that the lova defaults. According to Abaye, we have over here a classic kinyan. A classic kinyan, you know, goes into effect at the time that it takes place, just that we're not aware until later on that it actually took place, that it went through. So, but then once it went through Lamafreya. So Abaye clearly is a din of Kinyan. Rava can either be a Kinyan la'achar zman pira'on, in other words, the Kinyan whose kalut is postponed, or an issue of smichus das, either of these would create a limitation before this zman pira'on that we saw earlier, but would only really go into full force at the time of the pira'on, at the time of the default of the zman pira'on. Either at that point the zchut of the malva, the anochi e'ervenu would go into force, or this kinyan that we learn from Mashkan, that's what would go into force. Yes.
According to Abaye, so you said you have a partial kinyan in the Shas Halva. Why does that mean that I'm afraid you had a full kinyan? I mean, the partial kinyan is not enough to be able to sell it or to be able to match it, as we saw from the Lovitz, right? So yeah. Certainly the Malva doesn't have enough bailus to be able to do that.
No, but we pointed out, and all of that we said according to Rava. According to Abaye, we're dealing over here with the full kinyan. Just that, you know, it's only comes to our knowledge that this kinyan that this kinyan gomor is there lemafreya. Only when the lower defaults does the malva have the kinyan.
In what sense is there a partial kinyan then?
According to Rava.
According to Abaye, there's never the status of a partial kinyan. That was only Rava.
You don't have to come onto it according to Abaye. You don't have to come onto it according to Abaye.
So Rava has two stages, a partial kinyan, then after lach or social meal, you get a full kinyan.
Right.
Lach of shas pirah.
Correct. Bamasha Enkin, according to Abaye, we have a full kinyan, just so we wait to see Lamafreya what's going to happen. Lamafreya will knock off everything of the lova. Lamafreya will knock off will put in everything of the malva. We don't have to come on to partial and full according to the chiddush. In other words, the chiddush of the Gemara is, according to this approach, is that we have a partial kinyan according to Rava. That's the alternative, is what Rafi pointed out, is that there's no kinyan at all, and simply later on. So just to summarize it. In terms of Abaye, that he holds that an Afreya who gover, l'chora, what he is saying is that a shibud is a kinyan gomor, but in other words, it only comes, it only in other words, when the asher hagover eino mishalem call them Afreya. And that takes the lova out of the picture and puts the malva totally into the picture. Therefore, the lova's transactions are batel lemafreya, and the malva's transactions are kayam lemafreya. Everything is lemafreya. That's the easiest way of learning Abaye. The Gemara doesn't say anything else within Abaye. However, within Rava, here we have two tracks. One track is that he views shibud as a zchut. And this schut of the kas of smichus das, he has schut. There's an arvus. This comes only in which that this is schut smichus das, and all of this enters at the time of kasher halofe eino korea. At the moment, that's when the ariv enter into the picture, when the lova defaults. That's when the ariv enters in. That we're dealing over here. This is that we pointed out. This is Lachor, the din of Arvus, when the Lovis ain't no Korea. And until then, it's totally the Lovis. We have these what appear to be limitations. They're really not limitations. Really, what we have over here is a din of Pidyon. And we have a classic din of Pidyon, that the Lova, that the Malva, in other words, even after the Lova was Machnish, the Malva can be Poda. And that would still allow it to be there for him to collect. The other, of this, right, this we said the name of the Marak Alba. However, Rashi understands that everyone agrees that we're dealing over here with the world of Kenya. But we have two levels of Kenya. That until the time of Piraon, we have a Kenyan Koki. We have a partial Kenyan that limits the Lobe, that the Lobe's Ba'alut is limited. He can't do the kinyan kalki lova eino yachol l'ha'avir ba'alut. The lova can be makdish, the lova can be meshachrer, hekdesh chametz v'shichr machkim yidei shibud. He can't transfer ba'alut because we have this partial kinyan. And then we have a kinyan gemur. There he agrees with Abaye, acharei shehalova eino meshachrer. Right, but then the machlok, in other words, if Rava's line of reasoning is smichus das, so his machlok is between him and Abaye, is the question that we dealt with: what's the source of shibud d'oraisa? Are we learning out from Arev? Are we learning out from Mashkon? What's our source? Or it could be that everyone agrees that we're learning out from Mashkon. Everyone agrees this is the din of Kinyan. The question is as to the nature of the Kinyan. Are we dealing over here with a Kinyan Gomer, which is called the Mafreya? Are we dealing over here with a Kinyan Chelki, which turns into a Kinyan Gamur? Are we, in other words, and that over here, why did Rashi bring in at all the Kinyan Chelki? Because that's what the new Rav Shita was. You know, it's that Kuya Amo Asi Malta the Torah. So, I just knew it.
How did Mashkon work?
That will come to.
According to Bai, Mashkon works in Lafreya also?
That we'll have to see. In other words, Mashkon, in other words, there's not necessarily. Mashkon could be the source of the world of Shibudim. Doesn't mean that therefore the Kinyanim are of the same nature. Mashkon clearly is a din of some form of Kinyan. That's Rav Yitzchak, or Balchol Kone Mashkon. The question is to what degree it's a Kinyan, that we'll have to see.
And we're saying according to Rav Kornar Rashi, and Lachor, he would say the same thing according to Bai, a Lova is never allowed to, all his Mechirus are not Kam. Let's say he has a lot of properties. There's a Shiva in all of them, and he sells one property that's not Kam, because he doesn't have a full Kinyan.
That's the nature of Shibud, yeah. That's the nature of Shibud. Well, we're saying, I mean, what does it mean? We're saying that the Malva is Motzi Midei HaLekuchos. No, that's the...
Meaning, let's say the Malva does pass.
At that point, then it's Chal. So then we see Umafreya, that there was never the Kinyan Gomor.
So according to what I understand, according to Rava, what happened to Umafreya, we took away the partial Kinyan?
The partial Kinyan served as a break on the Lova, a temporary break on the Lova. And then at that point, that's what Rashi, that's what the Gemara points out. Mikano lahaba hu go, vekevan di ilu have le zuze have misalik behu de zuze, ishtakach da hashta kokoni. Namely, according to Rava, since the Lova always has the option of paying, you can't speak about a Kinyan Gomer as long as the Lova has the option of paying.
Right. So let's say he sold something during the Shas Hava.
Yes.
And then either it turned out the Lova paid or he was going from another karka. What would happen to that Mechira? The Mechira is not Chal?
If this was the karka that was Meshubad.
All the karka is Meshubad.
The karka that he owned at the time.
Right, so let's say he owns three fields. So he sells one of his fields. He sells three of them. So he's only going to be going from one field. So the other two fields, what happened to the other two fields? That sale is no good because it was a Kinyan Chelki and he couldn't, and he didn't have the right to sell?
In order to be able to apply the kinyanim, clearly, in order to be to apply these kinyanim, be they the partial kinyan or be they the full kinyan, in order to apply the full kinyan, we need a gviya. If there's not going to be a gviya, there's not going to be a full kinyan. Right, it goes l'mafreya from the time of the gviya.
Yeah, according to
everyone, in other words, only if there's going to be a gviya are we going to have a full kinyan.
Right.
Right. So until we have a gviya,
so then we have a partial kinyan.
Then according to Rava, in other words, mode Rava hecha de ikdish lova v'zavin lova kliyama l'plige do asi malve v'tarif asi malve uparik. Without Rashi, we could have learned without Rashi, we could have learned that this would be something l'mafreya, you know, it's this partial kinyan would be l'mafreya according to Rava. But Rashi says that this partial kinyan is not l'mafreya. This partial kinyan is ein mechiraso l'cherem mechira ein hekdosho hekdesh.
So I saw the finish. Oh, he says that Rashi assuming the case is not regular shibudim. The Rashi is dafka your mishabe the specific karka. So then it makes sense if that is mishubud. So then you can say that. But just stam the shibud klali that we have in general, that doesn't mean that he can't sell anything. Although it doesn't sound so much from Rashi.
Well, the first Rashi, you know, is the. The Rishonim Armadaik in verse Rashi, where he says, "Balchov Hamalves Kaver v'Shibed Lo Nachasav." Why does Rashi say v'Shibed Lo Nachasav? We pass in Shibuda Doraisa. There's no need for a Veferus Shibud. But I would understand the Gemara that Rashi tells us, as opposed to the Mishnah talking about Mashkon. Here we're talking about Shibud, and Rashi has to put that in somewhere. So he puts it in the first line that he wants to tell us that we're not talking about Mashkon yet. Gemara will bring in Mashkon. Later on, Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. Even though I brought it on the Mishnah, I was telling you that Muki Lei Gemara Lekamon, but not over here. This is not the Gemara of Mashkon. This is the Gemara of Shibud. In other words, I didn't feel that the diuk was Mukhrach within Rashi to set it up as a case of an apotheke case specifically, because then why Shibud Lo Nechasav? Should be Shibud Lo Nechso? You know, if we're dealing with something which is unique.
Doesn't sound that way even on Aleph, Lamed Aleph, Aleph, Lamed Aleph, where we quote this case of the Reuven Shemachasav.
We'll come to the case.
It sounds like the sale is a really good sale, and maybe you can take it back afterwards because of the Shibud, but the assumption there is not that the sale is not chal.
I don't know. I would learn the Gemara Kipshuto, and that this is, in other words, that when the Malva takes the field, it's not as though he's mafkia the field currently. He's basically saying that the sale to you was an illegal sale. The sale to you was an improper sale. The Lova had no right to sell it to you in the first place. The question is, when the Malva is gova the field, what about the peros of the field that were eaten in the meantime? He's gova those peros as well. If it was an illegal sale, Achori should be go over those peros as well. If it's a legal sale, but he has a right of gvia, so then how do we paskin in terms of peros? We paskin the malva is not go over peros. He's go over the field, he's not go over the peros. Why shouldn't, according to what we're learning over here, if we say, ein mechirasu l'acherim mechira, ein hekdesh al hekdesh, Aray, Mushkanim Haim the Malva. Unless you want to say Emachiras Lachem Bachira Gemura, Ehekdesho Hekdesh Gomur, that something is there or something is not there,
no.
That's hard to say. Avish Ain Chalainam Bershusa. Rashi used to say that it doesn't get off the ground.
He brings in a klal in general.
In terms of transferring, you have to have total bailus. And here, for reasons of partial kinyan or partial shibud, partial or zakuyot, he doesn't have total ownership. I was still in the Gemara Kipshuto until I saw otherwise. I mean, I hear that it appears to be a very radical way of looking at things, but I don't see otherwise in the Gemara. Most of it, you know, he pleads the Zavin Malve, the Kaddish Malve. That here, on the level of, in other words, do we have a Kinyan Gomer Lamafreya? Abai holds we have a Kinyan Gomer Lamafreya. Rava says you can't speak about a kinyan gomel afreya because there was the possibility that the kinyan would never come about, and that therefore can't be a kinyan gomel afreya. Can't have a kinyan gomor on something which is a dava shelo bala olam. That's the way Rabbeinu David explains. Right? That the machlokas, if we're learning that the machlokas is that Rashi holds can only have a kinyan gomor, you know, where it's mikano lahaba. And Abaye holds that we can have a Kinyan Gomor, the Mafreya, but they both hold you have a Kinyan Gomor, they both agree that a shibud is a kinyan gomor by the machokes. So Rabbeinu David on this idea says that according to Rava, this is viewed as a davar shel abal olam. Who's to say that it's ever going to come about? And Abayi says that's exactly the nature of a shibud. The shibud, you know, is that the nature of the shibud is that it's always going to be waiting, but that doesn't turn into a davar shel abal olam. We know exactly what's involved. You just have to see as to whether the lover is going to pay or not. Okay, let's for the time being leave this as our construct, and let's continue in the Gemara, with your permission. The Gemara then continues, Umi Amar Rava Hachi. Does Rava really say that we don't hold the Mafreya Hugova, that we don't overturn, that we don't say the Mechira was not a Mechira? Is that really the Shita of Rava? And here the Gemara brings in a case which is a little complicated. Reuven Shemachar Sode L'Shimon B'Achrayus. And which Reuven sold the Sode to Shimon B'Achrayus, telling him that if my Baal Chov comes and takes away your field because he has a Shibud on it, I, Reuven, will pay you, Shimon, that which you lost. Right? That's the Reuven Shemachar L'Shimon Sade B'Achrayus. Reuven has one field. He has no other fields. So when Shimon is buying this field now, his only recourse is that Reuven sells it to him with a guarantee. Either you keep this field, or if this field is taken away from you by someone who has a Shibud, then this field is taken away from you by one of the Baalei Chovos, I will reimburse you. So far, so good. Then, Zakfan Alav Milta. Shimon didn't have the money to pay Reuven, so instead of that, Shimon gave Reuven a Shtar Chov on the field. And this Shtar Chov, like all Shtar Chov, has a Shibud Nechasim. Namely, that the Nechasim of Shimon will back up his Shtar Chov. So we have a field being transferred from Reuven to Shimon with a promise of reimbursement on the side of Reuven. We have a Shtar Chov being transferred from Shimon to Reuven with the Shibud Nechasim on Shimon. Those are our two transfers. And then Meis Reuven. He's now out of the picture. And Asa Baal Chov de Reuven, the worst case scenario, V'taref lei mishimon. And so at this point, instead of Shimon going straight to the Yesomim and asking for his money back, what he did was, Asa Shimon upaise bezuze. In other words, he paid off the Baal Chov of Reuven. He paid Reuven's debt. And now he turns to Reuven's Yorshim for that money back. And when Shimon wants to keep the field that he bought, and he wants to get reimbursed for the money that he gave the Baal Chov, because there is achrayus. He wants the sons of Reuven to take care of the achrayus that their father had told him. So dinahu da'asi b'nei Reuven va'amri l'Shimon anan mitaltele shavak avun gabach. In other words, you have achrayus, you have a taina on the metaltalim of our father. That's your taina. Our father had no fields when he died. You had a taina on his bank account. But that doesn't work. As long as Shimon's alive, he's responsible to pay you back. The moment he dies and there is no karka, then we are not responsible. So basically, natata kaspachal, keren hatzvi. You lost your money. In other words, you would have either lost the field or your money. In other words, that your achrayus is only on metaltalim, and there's no concept of achrayus in the world of metaltalim. There's nowhere over here for you to be gove for you to be gove that which you want to be gove from us. Okay. So then the Gemara continues. V'amar Rava, and this is what the Gemara wants to be medayik in Rava. I pikeach Shimon, magbelohu ara v'hadar gavi la minayhu. Had Shimon been a pikeach, in other words, again, he, the Yisomim, have a shtar chov on Shimon. The Yisomim have a shtar chov on Shimon. So when they want to collect their chov, rather than give them money, he should give them karka. And the moment he gives them karka, then now the achrayus that he had on Reuven, on the father, he can fulfill with this karka. He can fulfill with this karka. Again, he didn't never paid for the field. He gave Reuven a shtar chov. Reuven's Yorshim are going to come to him with that shtar chov, and he has to pay it. They have a shtar chov, and so rather than paying with money, and then he'll constantly, you know, have lost his money. If he'll pay them with karka, then he can be gove this karka. How can he be gove this karka? Sof kol sof. There's only a shibud. He has only a shibud on that which Reuven had. He doesn't have a shibud on that which he currently gives the Yisomim. So what do we? What principle? What does the Gemara want to mivdaik from over here? What principle do we see? Del mafreya hu gofer, namely that since to read it, v'amarava if hapikeach magdeluhu v'karigami minayu do amarav nachon Yisomim shegavu karka b'chovas aviyem. Namely that since that karka that he gave was to cover a loan that was owed to the father, so there we view it as though there was a shibud from that time. In other words, what if they would have purchased their own land? So the Gemara answers, no, you can't prove anything from this situation that mafreya hu gove, because here ki hechi de mishtabda le avuchon mishtabda name lebaalchov da avuchon midirav nasan, that In our situation, ki hechi the mishtabda leil avuchon. Who is the mishtabda leil avuchon, and who is the baal chov da avuchon? Me meaning whom?
Shimon.
That
Shimon would say.
Shimon would say, I owed your father money.
And
who is Levi?
The original Baal Chov.
And therefore?
I either have to pay you or I have to pay you.
Rashi explains, Lo'olam mikanu lahaba hu gover. Lo'olam mikanu lahaba hu gover. Umay damar av Nachman ba'alma ba'alchov chozer v'gover osa mehen. Is not because l'mafreya hu gover, but rather mishum da'amar lehen ba'alchov liyisomim. Mikoach mi botem Ugevitem karka zo mikoach shibut shel avichem. You're being gove this karka. I owed your father money. You're being gove my karka because of the shibut of your father. Veki hechi de mishtabda laavuchon karka zo laavuchon karka zo shelove shelova me avichem mishtabda nami ledidi. Shahayisi malve shel avichen, v'amachuyev lo klum meshubad li. words, I had a relationship with your father where he borrowed from me and I borrowed from him. What did he borrow from me? He borrowed from me. He owed me achrayus on the field that I purchased from him. So we consider him to have borrowed from me. I borrowed from him to pay the field. So he owed me achrayus. I owed him a debt. Hilkach, kadam shibudi alei, afilu eitzel love shahayisa birishuso. Therefore, I precede. Within this triangle, I'm playing two roles. I'm both a lova to your father and I'm a malva to your father. And so, within this triangle, and who's the third part of the triangle? This other. The previous Balchot. What? It's himself and the previous and the children of Reuven. Who are the two parties over here? Reuven and Shimon. But Reuven's dead, so we're dealing with Reuven's children. Yeah? And Shimon. And Shimon has two roles. And so Shimon is saying that I am transferring from role to role, in order that the money now be owed to me. Correct? That's comes out. Okay. So once one gets through the Gordian knot of reading through the Gemara, what the Gemara has done is to neutralize the Lamafreya who gova. You don't have to come out to Lamafreya who gova. We have another way of understanding the Pikeyahu, not because of Lamafreya who gova, rather that he plays two roles. And he transfers to himself a debt that was owed to him. What we have to understand over here is, what is this concept of Shibuda Derev Nasan? How does Shibuda Derev Nasan work exactly? So here we'll stop. In other words, I would like to keep the Gemara that we learned previously, Kipshuto. You know, it's that we have the ability to read it either like Rashi, read it like the Maram Chalva, and what it means is that when there is a gviya, what turns out is, according to Abaye, that everything had been a facade. It was all simply smoke and mirrors. Nothing really took place at all. There was no power of the lova to sell anything. That's the mafreya of Abaye. And Rava agrees on a partial plane, but the Kinyan Gomer only comes about mikan olahaba in terms of the rights of the malva. I do think that that's what the Gemara is saying. In terms of the raya was neutralized, but the raya is only going to be neutralized if we have this concept of Shibuda Derev Nasan. So on Shibuda Derev Nasan, we have over here a Tosfos, Diremaskil, Mishtabda Lebalchov, and there's Rabbeinu David, and there's a Maharsha in the back of the Gemara on this Tosfos. That's what we have over here. Then the Gemara then moves over to the Mishnah and wants to bring the Mishnah as a raya either to Abaye or to Rava. And then the Gemara says, no, the Mishnah is not talking about our case, it's talking about a case of Mashka. So within, to understand over here what was the Havamin of the Gemara, to bring in Abaye and Rava into understanding the Mishnah, how did the Gemara understand according to the two sides? What exactly is what assumptions do we have to make in order to make that connection? And then to move over into the sugya of Mashkan, and to skip the block, and to go down and Daf Lamed Aleph Medeis until the Tanu Rabbanan before the Mishnah. It's in the middle of Daf Lamed Beis Medeis, until where it says, Amami Achshav Shema Minah. The next year will be a week from today, not Sunday, a week from today. So what I'd like to I'd like you to see over here, you have a week, is to see the Rashi and the Tosfos, but also over here to see the Rush and to see the Rambam. Then we'll have to deal on two planes. In other words, the order will be first to deal with Shiduta de Rav Nosson, then the relationship of Abaye Varava to the Mishnah, then and in that context, the relationship of Abaye Varava to the Mishnah to see the Rush and the Rambam as to what is the Ukimta that we want to set up, then to move over into the world of Mashkon. And in the world of Mashkon, pretty much there are a lot of parallel Tosfos and Shas, but pretty much everything is brought over here in the Tosfos that we have on our page. So we can go into Baal Chovkon and Mashkon simply within the sugya over here, within Sakim Daf Lamed Aleph Beis. If you want, you can see the parallel sugya in Bab Metzia Daf and Daf Pei Beis. There's a parallel sugya in Gittin. But everything pretty much is here. Okay, so we'll be another a week from today. We'll have next year. So it's a week from today. Then Mr. Shem is Sunday before Shavuos. And then the week after what? Did I skip a week? A week from today. And then we have Sunday. I'm sorry. Then we have a Sunday, a Wednesday, and a Sunday. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Words, we have four more Shiurim before Shavuos, Mr. Shem. Okay, and then after Shavuos, another 2 weeks.
What's the Sunday? For those who are in yeshiva, so I guess everyone's learning. For those who are in Meiron, so people will be in Meiron.